If you can turn with me to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter number 13. We're going to read from, we are focusing on chapter 13, but we will read from verse 17 to 22. Exodus 13 from verse 17 to 22. If you're joining us online or on Facebook or wherever you are from, we are reading from Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 to 22. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By the day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. This is the word of the Lord. And here at Southside, we believe that since the Bible is God's word and we are God's children, then the Bible is God's word for us. Father, we come before you this morning acknowledging your presence in this place, praying that you may minister to us in your own way, and that through your word you may accomplish what you intend to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we are still continuing with our series on God's revelation is our invitation. We are learning that whenever God revealed himself, that revelation was an invitation for his people to come and join him. Every time he revealed himself, if you read Amos 3:7, it says, surely the Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. Amos 3:7 reminds us that. Every time God wanted to do something, he would reveal it to someone. And that revelation will be an invitation for that person to be part of what God is doing. For those of you who are not with us when we were beginning this series, let me again just help you be on the same page with us. When God wanted to rescue the children of Israel from Egypt, he revealed his plan. He revealed himself and his purpose to Moses. He said, I have heard the cry of my people, I have seen their suffering, and I have come down to rescue them. In Exodus chapter 3, he says that, and then he told Moses, and I am sending you. So Moses was invited by God to participate on what God was already doing for his people. His revelation is our invitation. You will realize that in your life as a Christian, There will be many times that God will reveal himself to you. He will reveal what he is doing. He will show you. Sometimes this can just be a compelling in your heart. You feel compelled to do something, to help someone, to say something, to be part of something. That is God revealing himself to you. He is already doing something in your life, and he is inviting you to be part of it. We don't invite God in what we are doing. God invites us in what he is doing. Some people will pray and say, we are inviting the Holy Spirit today. Where was he? We don't invite God. God invites us. When he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross, God was giving an invitation to the world. He was saying, come to me and you will be forgiven and you will be saved. It is God who invites us. And when he invites us, he expects us to respond in obedience. That's what we are focusing on in this series. In this text that we have read and the rest of the chapter that we did not read, there is something that is happening here. I don't know if you've come to a place in your life where you have trusted God and you've taken a step of response, believing that God was leading you. And then the way things turn up, the way things turn out, the difficulties that you experience on the way begin to make you doubt whether God was really leading you. You make decisions thinking that God is leading you to make those decisions. And then you find yourself in an experience that makes you ask, is the Lord leading me? Really? Can God bring me to where I am today? Would God take me through this experience? Is he leading me? As a church, the church is supposed to be God's instrument through which he accomplishes his purpose here on earth. I'm talking of a local church. It's an assembly of God's people through whom God accomplishes his mission. But we also know that churches are dying. Especially in New England, churches are dying. And if you are part of a church that is dying, and you believe that you are where God wants you to be, that he has led you there, you will be tempted to ask, did God really lead me here? The Israelites are going through this deliverance, this rescue plan. Pharaoh has commanded them to depart. And the Lord has given Moses some instructions. The Israelites know the way to the promised land because that's where their forefathers came from when they came to Egypt 430 years ago. They knew the way. In their minds, they knew that if we are going to leave Egypt to go to Canaan, this is the way. But God tells Moses, you are going to go on an opposite direction. You are going to get to take a different route. You are not going to follow the way that you know. You are going to follow the way that I will tell you. So he leads them through the desert. And I think the Israelites are likely to ask, is the Lord really leading us? Does he really know the way? But the Bible is clear here. It tells us that there's a reason God decided them to lead them in the opposite direction. There is a reason that this made God change their path. If you've been following, you will realize that there are so many things we can learn from the Egyptians, from the Israelites, from Moses, from Aaron, from Pharaoh. There are so many things we can learn from them as they respond to God. But I think there is one character in this passage that we need to pay attention to. We need to pay our undivided attention to, and that character is God himself. He is the one who is fully involved in the lives of his people. He is greater than Pharaoh, he is greater than Moses and Aaron, and you cannot really compare him with anything because he is the Lord Almighty. Just to look at him in this journey as he rescues his people, we realize that he is the God who hears, always listening to his people. He can hear their cry, he can see their tears. He is the God who hears. He said, I have heard the cry of my people. You know, sometimes in your life, you pray to God and it seems like he's not listening. You are tempted to take your own decisions, to make your own decisions, to take your own steps, to lean on your own understanding, because something tells you this God is not listening to my prayers. When you read the experience of the Israelites in Egypt, you will realize that he is the God who hears. Always listening to his spirit. He is also the God who speaks. He is not a silent God. It is easier to be tempted to think and feel that God is silent. But he is a God who speaks, always revealing his plans, always revealing his word, always revealing himself to his people. He is a God who speaks. And sometimes when we claim not to hear him, it's not because he is not speaking. It is because we are not listening. Because he speaks. He is also a God who acts. He takes actions, rescuing his people, defeating their enemies. He takes actions. He does not only listen, he does not only speak, he also acts. This is the kind of God that we worship, that we praise, that we come together to remind ourselves of, and the relationship that we have with him. And finally, he is the God who leads. He hears, he speaks, he acts, and he leads. He provides directions, always leading his people. And because he leads, we can trust him. We can trust his way. You know, at times God will lead you to a place that A place that is not comfortable for you. A direction that you wouldn't have taken if it was in your choice to do so. Sometimes he would do that for you. Sometimes he will place you at a place that makes you uncomfortable, a place that you wouldn't want to be, but because it is God, you can trust him. You can hope in him. You can wait on him. Look at his involvement in this text. Just to go through chapter 13 so that you may be aware of what is going on here. The Lord is fully involved here. You will see him. He makes sure that Pharaoh drives the Israelites out. Do you know why? Because there's a possibility that some Israelites would have wanted to stay in Egypt. Some Israelites were in power. They were in control of the others. Some were serving Pharaoh. They were enjoying life. Staying in Egypt would have been the best place for them. But God makes Pharaoh this time not just to ask them to leave, but to force them to leave. The Egyptians are sending the Israelites away. Go! If you stay here, we are all going to die. God understands the weaknesses of his people. When you wake up in the morning and you don't feel like going to church and you start thinking of ideas that would make you stay at home, God understands that. I feel the same at times. Amen. I wake up in the morning at times and I really don't feel like coming, and my wife has to push me. Wake up. And I tell her, I don't feel like going today, and she reminds me, you are the pastor. And so I have to. There are days I wake up and I really don't feel like. And I know some of us go through this too. A day like today, being in your house where it's warm, you know, under your blanket, just covering yourself and enjoying that extra hours of sleep, it's not a bad thing to do. God understands our weaknesses. He knows how weak we are. He understood the weaknesses of his people, and he had to rescue them in a way that would force them to respond. And he uses Pharaoh and the Egyptians to do that. The other thing he does here is that he gives Israel, the nation of Israel, a unique tradition to help them remember their redemption. One, he tells them that they should consecrate every firstborn son to him. He says, every firstborn son belongs to me. In fact, the firstborn of everything, including animals and plants. And for the Israelites to redeem that son, they will have to offer a lamb, a one-year-old lamb that had no blemishes. This is an instruction God is giving them to help them remember what he has done in their lives. And God, in doing this, he is also preparing them for the coming of Jesus Christ. Another thing he tells them to do is to remember the Passover. The day that the angel of death passed over their homes because of the blood that was smeared on the door frames and went ahead and killed the firstborns of the Egyptians. This becomes traditions that the Israelites will have to remember for the rest of their lives. The Israelites will have to pass them to their children and their grandchildren. And by doing so, God is preparing his people for the greatest firstborn that would come and die on the cross, Jesus Christ. And then he, of course, leads his people in the opposite direction. God knows that the Israelites are weak. He says, in verse 17, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. This shows a God who understands his people. God knew that the Israelites were not ready to fight. They were ready for battle. They were prepared. But God looked at them and he could tell they are not ready to fight. If they face the Philistines, they're going to return back to Egypt. Therefore, I'm going to send them on a different way. See, as a pastor, when people come to me and they say, I have decided to do this. I have decided to leave the church. I have decided to take this position or this position. In my heart, I am praying and wishing that the Lord is leading them. Because I know if the Lord is leading them, they will be safe. If the Lord is leading them, he will be with them. He will lead them through because he can see what we cannot see. Because if the Lord is not leading you, my friend, the Philistines are waiting. Philistines are waiting. And it is important for us as Christians to realize that our desire, our hope, and our prayer is that the Lord is leading us and we are following him. Because that's where we can be assured of our safety. Because when we face war, when we face enemies, the Lord will fight for us. When he is leading us, we can be sure that he will fight for us. The Israelites had to follow God's direction. Otherwise, if they had decided that, no, that's not the way, this is the way, they would have gone and faced the Philistines. They would have taken themselves to places where they would be put down without God. God's way may not be the most obvious way for us. It may not be the shortest way. It may not be the way of our choice, but it is God's way. And if it's good, if it is God's way, then we better follow it. We better follow it. I'm sure the Israelites had questions, but I'm also seeing God's servant Moses, after all the experiences he has had in his life, he is able now to trust, to rest, to relax, and to follow God's directions. This is the message. The Lord leads his people so they can be of glory to him. The Lord leads his people so they can be of glory to him. If you want, you can say, so they can glorify him. He leads his people for one purpose, so that he can be glorified through them. He said, I will rescue my people and I will be glorified. Pharaoh and the world and the Israelites shall know that I am the Lord. In the end, God will be glorified. In the end, people will realize that he is the Lord. We may be tempted to doubt his way. We may feel overwhelmed by his leadership style. He may take us to places that we don't like. He may ask us to do things that we wouldn't do on our own. To love people that we would have loved not to. To embrace people that we would have loved to avoid. To give what we would have loved to keep. But when we realize that this is the Lord, and when we realize that he leads his people so that they can be of glory to him, we will respond in obedience. The challenge is always putting ourselves first. Let me say something here. I've had people say, God first, then what comes second? Parents? Oh, God's first, then others, then what? Myself, then what? That's it? Okay. I've had people say God self, the God first, then family, then others, then blah, blah, blah. That's all wrong. If you say God is number one, you must have a number two, right? I'm not saying the number two is God. But if you have God in number one and then you have something in number two, that means you are placing them in a certain order, and everyone has his own or her own places or authority. Or God, this is what I'm trying to say. God is not looking to be number one. God is looking to be everything in our lives. God should be the umbrella of our lives. Then everything else flows from that. The reason I love my wife, it's not because she is number two. It's not because she comes after God. It's because God commands me to love her. The reason that makes me love my children, it's not because they are number three in my schedule. It's because God expects me as a father to love my children, to teach my children, to lead my children. The reason I come to church, I fellowship with others. It's not because church is number two in my plan. It's because God expects me to fellowship with others. Everything has to flow from God. There is no number one and number two. You can have those numbers on other things. You can say, my family is number one, my work is number two. And then you can't even put the church there, because the church is God's mission on this world. So it shouldn't be in any number. You don't understand this, right? Oh, if you get it, just at least. It does. Very good. God is not a number. We can't place him somewhere. We can't say, oh, God is number one, then my church. Once you begin to do that, it reveals your misconception, your misunderstanding about the God that we believe in. He says that he owns everything. He owns me, he owns my family, and once he owns me, he owns everything that I own. So where do I place him? What number do I give him? He's not competing with anyone. God is not just visiting our lives. He moves in. May God help someone hear this clearly. Never get to a point where you begin to place God the way we place things. That reveals our misconception about this God. He should be over everything because that's what God is. We cannot give him a number. Next time you hear someone tell you, you know, God is number one in my life, ask them, who is number two? And they will tell you there is something also that is probably next to God, according to them. And then correct them. Tell them, no. Every number has to flow from God because he is numberless. Let it take too long. Are you in a hurry? The Lord leads his people so that they can be of glory to him. Listen, my brothers and sisters, if the Lord is leading you, regardless of what you are going through, regardless of your experiences, you should know that he means well. He means well. It is all for the best. Do you know how I know this? Do you know how I know this? The Bible tells me so. Romans 8:28. For we know that in all things God works together for good. For those who love him, those whom he has called according to his purpose. If the Lord is leading you, you should know that in all things, in everything that you are going through, it will work out for good. It is for the best, because God has the best interest of his people in mind. When he is leading them in a different direction, it's because he has their best interest in mind. He's a loving father. The good thing about God is that he can see what we cannot see. That's why it's important for us to rely on him. See, one thing that has happened with the coronavirus is this. I'm going to be controversial here. As a pandemic, instead of first revealing to ourselves that we are not in control, which It should point us to the one who is in control, and that is God. What the coronavirus has done is it has turned us to ourselves. It has become so much about me and myself. We are putting more trust on what people are saying than on what God is saying. I'm not saying you should be stupid. I'm not saying you should be careless. But I'm saying, with everything that is going on, your safety is not on the mask or the vaccine that is coming or on social distancing. Your safety is on the Lord. I did not say you should not wear a mask. I did not say you should not social distance. I did not say you should not take the vaccine when it comes out. I did not say that. But everything that you are doing as a Christian, if it makes you forget that your safety is with the Lord, then you have missed everything. That is the challenge that we have as Christians right now with this pandemic. It has turned us to ourselves instead of turning us more to the Lord. In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, those who are called according to His purpose. Let me give you 4 points here, and then I will be done. Because the Lord leads us, He leads His people so that they can glorify Him. Because the Lord leads His people so they can glorify Him, then we know that, one, when He leads us, He provides for us. Remember what they did in chapter 12, what He did with the Israelites? He told them in chapter 12, verse 35 and 36, to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold and clothing. And the more they asked, the more they received. The Egyptians would give them their gold and silver and clothing because they wanted them to get out of Egypt. He's leading His people and He is providing for His people. Someone said, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not provide for you. As long as it's the Lord who is leading you, He will provide. Hallelujah. We just need to be sure that He is the one leading. And when you look at life that way, my friend, you will approach it with confidence. Because you know that God doesn't lead, He doesn't say go unless He leads the way. God, because He leads His people so that they can be of glory to Him, when He leads us, He provides for us. Number two, when the Lord leads us, He protects us. We have seen this. The reason He is changing, we've seen Him protect His people in Egypt from the plagues. But we also see in this text, the reason He is changing direction is because He's protecting His people from the Philistines. When He leads, He also protects. Number three, When the Lord leads us, he walks with us. We are told that he was a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire in the night. And the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire never left their place or its place in the presence of the Israelites. In verse 21, let me just read that so that I avoid confusing you. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. When the Lord leads us, he provides for us. When the Lord leads us, he protects us. When the Lord leads us, he walks with us. And finally, when the Lord leads us, he fulfills his promises. The Lord is the one who led the children of Israel to Egypt. He's the one who led them in. And now, he's the one who is leading them out. And he had promised that I will rescue you. I will deliver you. And by doing so, he is fulfilling his promises. And that's why Moses had to carry Joseph's bones. Because Joseph had said, God has promised to deliver you from Egypt. God had revealed his plan to Joseph. And Joseph said, I don't want to be buried in Egypt. Keep my bones, keep my remains, so that you can bury me with my people. When the Lord delivers you, you will go and bury me in our land, in our family tomb. And they kept those remains. I'm sure there are some Israelites who are buried in Egypt. But Joseph's bones were carried. It shows how God fulfills his promises. And when Moses is carrying those bones, God is fulfilling his promise. Those bones are reminding them that there's a promise here that we can rely on. There's a promise here that we can focus on. There is a promise here that we can wait for. There is a promise here that we can hope for. Those bones were a reminder of God's promises. And now that they are carrying them, they can see God fulfilling his promises. When he leads, he fulfills his promises. We may be tempted to think that if God gave us enough information, life would be more comfortable for us. If he told me the kind of woman that I should marry, for example. If he told me the kind of work that I should do. If he told me the kind of house that I should live in, if he gave me all this information, life would be much easier. If he told me whom I should vote for. But God is right there with you. He is leading you in the presence of the Holy Spirit who is in you. God is at work in your life, my friend. All we need is to listen to him, because just listen to what Jesus said. Okay, I'm opening my Bible again. I think in John chapter 16, verse 13, let me read it for you. But when he, Jesus is saying, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you Okay? He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. You and I need to open our ears to the Spirit that is in us, and that Spirit will provide the guidance that God wants us to have, because God always leads his people to where they can glorify him. My encouragement to you, instead of worrying about what God has not said, focus on what he has said. Instead of focusing on where he is not leading you, focus on where he is leading you, because that's where you can be of glory to him. And that should be our desire. Father, I want to thank you this morning for your love for us. I want to thank you this morning for your word. I want to thank you for every opportunity that you give us to experience you, to know you, to follow you, to rely on you, to wait on you. I pray for your people, Lord, for every family that is represented here, that in your own way, Father, you may work in their lives in such a way that it will be obvious that it is you who is doing it. I pray for every marriage. I pray for every plan, every job, every prayer request that comes from your people, that Father, in your own way, you may show yourself strong, that they may see you and they may realize that you are leading them. May you lead your people, Lord, to a place where they can glorify you. May you lead us as a church to a place where we can glorify you. May you lead our nation, Lord, to a place where we can glorify you. May you accomplish what you intend to accomplish. In Jesus' name.